ते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 58 एंटाइटल्ड कृष्ण मैरीज फाइव प्रिंसेसेस टेक्स्ट नंबर 4 युधिष्ठिरस्य भीमस्य कृत्वा पादाभिवन्दनम् फाल्गुनम् परीरभ्याथे यमाभ्याम् चरणा चाभिवन्दितः युधिष्ठिरस्य भीमस्य कृत्वा पादाभिवन्दनम् फाल्गुनम् परीरभ्यथा यमाभ्याम् चाभिवन्दितः युधिष्ठिरस्य भीमस्य कृत्वा पादाभिवन्दनम् फाल्गुनम् परीरभ्यथा यमाभ्याम् चाभिवन्दितः लेडीज युधिष्ठिरस्य भीमस्य टू युधिष्ठिर एंड भीम कृत्वा आफ्टर ऑफरिंग पाद एट देयर फीट अभिवंदनम ओबेसेंसेस फाल्गुनम अर्जुन परिरभ्य फर्मली एम्ब्रेसिंग अथ धेन इमाभ्याम बाय द ट्विन ब्रदर्स नकुल एंड सहदेव च एंड अभिवंदितः ग्रीटेड रिस्पेक्टफुली ट्रांसलेशन प्रपोज्ड बाय द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद आफ्टर द लॉर्ड बाउड डाउन एट द फीट ऑफ युधिष्ठिर एंड भीमा and firmly embraced Arjuna, he accepted obeisances from the twin brothers Nakula and Sahadev. Purport: externally, Krishna was the Pandava's cousin, and their relationship was just like that between cousin brothers, because Yudhishthira and Bhim were externally senior to Krishna. The Lord bowed down at their feet, whereas he embraced his peer Arjun and accepted obeisances from the younger brothers Nakula and Sahadev. Sometimes inexperienced devotees think it is sinful to honor or bow down to an elder brother in Krishna consciousness. But from Lord Krishna's example here, we may conclude that offering all respects to a senior brother in Krishna consciousness is not sinful.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపాకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపాం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితాం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావద్ధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియ. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ రామ రామ. ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ శ్రీకృష్ణ ఈజ్ డిపిక్టింగ్ హిజ్ earthly pastimes as an ideal human being. Krishna is apaurushya, he is not a human being, narakriti, but he has come in the form of a human being. And not only he has come in the form of a human being with this, in his Satchitananda form, but knowing very well that he is the Supreme Lord and the human beings are supposed to learn various lessons of human culture and civilization, Krishna is depicting the ideal behavior of a civilized human being. Prabhupada talks about civilization. When he said the word modern civilization, Prabhupada said that is a good idea. So, civilization means civilized behavior. There is no question of civilization without the people involved in that living a civilized life. If there is no civilized life, then it is not a civilization. It is a civilization of demons. Krishna is such a refined person and he is showing the ideal behavior of, he has these five brothers who are standing in front of him. And he's showing exactly how to behave with all three categories of people involved. Of the five brothers, two are senior to him in age, one is equal to him in age, and two are younger than him in age. And so Krishna is depicting ideally how to deal with seniors, equals and juniors at one go, in one sitting, in one scene, in one snapshot, in that is Krishna's wonderful nature. He is offering obeisances to Bhimsen and Yudhishthir Maharaj. That's something wonderful, right? There is God. This is God. This is God. This is a God of all living beings. There's no one senior to him. There cannot be anybody who's senior to God. Then he's not a God. Then somebody, that person who's senior to him is a God. Krishna is Adi Devam. He is Adi, but he is also Anadi. He is a beginning, and before him there is no other beginning. He is the ultimate beginning of everything. So in that sense, there cannot be Krishna's father who is senior to God. Obviously, all of us who are children have fathers who are senior to us. So your father is obviously a senior person than you, your mother. But God cannot have father and mother. He cannot have a brother. But the Lord plays this wonderful, depicts this wonderful leelas to show ideal behavior.
So here is in this particular Leela, when Krishna is born, and the earthly pastimes, Yudhishthi Maharaj and Bhimsen were born before him in this world. Therefore Krishna accepts them in all humility as his senior brothers, senior cousin brothers. And yet God himself, the cause of all causes, is bowing down to his brother. This is very wonderful to note, right? It's very sweet. It is such a nice thing to see God bowing down to his own devotees. There is no reservation on God's side. He said, I am God, yeah, come on. How can I bow down to somebody? But he bows down to a very ugly, shaggy, niggardly Brahmana like Sudama also. Showing idle behavior again. Just few pages before, we have read that Krishna has just come from Dwarka. He is now in Hastinapur to meet his brothers, cousin brothers, because he is concerned about them. Krishna's mind, Krishna's heart is always doing only one thing, concerned about devotees' welfare. That's all. There is no other emotional process being taking place in Krishna's heart except his concern for his devotees. So in this while he is away from Vrindavan, his heart is still shared between his concerns for what's happening in Vrindavan. So on one side he has to plan to send some messages there through Uddhava and all those things. Another concern is towards primarily the people who are out of Vrindavan, that is Hastinapurvasis, the Pandavas, because they are going to big trouble also. They are going to very big trouble living in a very inimical environment, which is very, very difficult to survive in the midst of envious people who are trying to kill them all. So Krishna's concern is always for his Pandavas also. Krishna has very clearly stated in the story of Ambarish Maharaj, 9th canto, we heard Krishna's divine words as Narayan he speaks. When Durasa Muni is chasing Krishna, is being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, and you know the Chakra, he runs around here and there, everywhere, helter skelter, in fear and to save his life, because he just saw the Chakra just completely behead the Rakshas he had created from his hair. And now it is his turn to get beheaded also. Chakra is chasing him. Then he goes to Brahmaloka. Then he goes to Kailash. And then now goes to Vaikuntha. And then he tells Narayan to save his life from the Chakra you have released to kill me. And some of the most beautiful things in the Srimad Bhagavatam are in that canto. Because Krishna is now glorifying his devotees. Most of the time we find in Bhagavatam that devotees are glorifying Krishna. Right? Yogajendra Moksha, you have Bhishma Dev at his disappearance, you have Kunti Maharani when he's leaving for Dwarka, you have Prachetas, you have all these Vaishnavas who are gloriously offering prayers of glorification based on their understanding and realization to Krishna. But there are a few instances where we find Krishna revealing his love for his devotees, because ultimately bhakti is a reciprocal process. Bhakti is not one-sided, where only the devotee offers all this to Krishna and Krishna is just enjoying the prayers. He's just enjoying. He's enjoying. He's supposed to just enjoying the good words. Uttama Shloka. No, it is not like that. It is not a one-sided thing. Krishna is also very eager to glorify his devotees. And therefore he says here, what does he say? He says, what are the words? Suradhan? Yeah, what is the Sanskrit? Who knows the Sanskrit? Sadunam Ridayam Mayam. Sadunam Ridayam Tuaham. Madanya Tena Janati Naham Tebhyog Managapi. He says that the devotees are always in my heart, and I am always in the heart of my devotees. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anything else but my devotee. This is such a beautiful verse. And showing the exclusive, beautiful, transcendental relationship between Krishna and his devotees. Krishna has no other thought process in his mind. He's not thinking of sense gratification like we do. Sometimes this, sometimes we vacillate. We think of Krishna sometimes, we think of sense gratification sometimes. Our mind is all distorted with various influences based on the modes we go through. But Krishna's mind is beyond the modes. Therefore he is focused always in one direction, that is his devotees' welfare. So he has come all the way from Dwarka to meet his devotees. He is concerned about them. And here he is bowing down to Yudhishthira Maharaj and Bhim Singh. How wonderful. And also we see that they are receiving his obeisances. Because they also understand. It's a, no. Not like that. Yudhishthira also just stands there and receives obeisance of Krishna. He knows fully well, Dharmaraj knows fully well, this is God, the supreme cause of all causes. Every universe which is there in this creation is part of his body. Everything is embodied within him. And he simply accepts. Bhimsen also accepts. So they allow Krishna to enact his leelas. In that way they are serving Krishna. Krishna, you want to show this example to the world? So we will allow you to do that. Even though we are obviously not happy that you are doing this to us, but nonetheless, disqualified as we are, thank you for showing the example through us to the world. And they accept. Sometimes just accepting that is also a type of service. Sometimes devotees want to serve us. I said, no, Prabhuji, please. So we would not like to take any service. That's a good mood to have. But sometimes it may appear in our situations that just sometimes accepting service of somebody who is really eager to serve is a good way to please that devotee, because he's trying to serve you. I said, Prabhu, please, can I give something? Can I give this? They want to serve you something. So you can say, no. And just accepting that will please him. So sometimes accepting service also is a type of service. Based on our, it would need mature understanding and when to do that, when to reject that. And obviously when he accepts, we are not doing the mood of being enjoyers. Oh yeah, please go ahead and serve me because I am senior Vaishnav. We accept him because we perceive love of that particular Vaishnava. So he wants to give us something, a glass of water or a glass of milk or some small thing or some picture or something. He wants to give us something. He wants to give you a lift to some other place and says, please come in my car and I'll take you to the temple. I'll be happy to come with you. Take your association. So accepting service also is a type of service. So yeah, they're accepting Krishna's obeisances offered to them. And then you find that Krishna embraces Arjun. Now, the second part of the scene is now focused on, he's going from up to down, from senior, then his equal, and then so everything is perfect. Well, Krishna has always, but he didn't start with the Nakul and Sahadev. They follow obeisances first. No. It is his part first, his verse, his share to show the example. He's not allowing Nakul Sahadev to offer obeisance to him first. He said his part first, and it says here that the particular word which is used here is nice. He said Arjuna was firmly embraced by Krishna. The word firmly is used. And I like that word. Parirabhya, firmly embracing. We embrace somebody firmly. Of course, we don't want to go into analysis of different types of embraces because it's not the right thing to do. But when you embrace somebody very thickly, really strong embrace, it's really a strong hug. It means more affection. It shows more affection than just a casual listener. But Krishna and Arjuna are so thick friends. They're practically inseparable entities. Krishna is called as Partha Sakhe. He's so dear to Arjun. Arjun's life is Krishna. In fact, he's called Krishna. And when they embrace, it's such a nice, tight embrace. Like the embrace of Gaur and Nitai at the house of Nandan Acharya. When Gaur and Nitai met for the first time at the house of Nandan Acharya, it wasn't just a casual embrace. Oh, how Nitai Prabhu was waiting to see his brother in this particular leela. We were waiting for him at Sringarvat for the signal for the Lord to start the Sankirtan pastimes. And he just went out to Vrindavan, went to Navadvip, hid in the house of Nandan Acharya. When they met for the first time, their embrace was so robust and so strong. So we need to appreciate in our hearts the very special relationship of Krishna with his dear friend Arjun. It's such a relationship. And that relationship has ultimately evolved into the Mahabharata war and evolved further into the Bhagavad Gita. Like I said, would not speak this message which he had come in this world to deliver. He had come to establish Dharma. He would not speak this to anybody. The one who he chose to speak, of all the millions of devotees he may have had,
was Arjun. He could have spoken to anybody he wanted. He can aspire anyone's heart to understand what he's saying. Even a parrot or a peacock, he can speak to anybody. Krishna can do anything. But Krishna chose to speak this very special message of eternality, of knowledge, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, to this one single person who was so dear to him, special devotee, Ati Vishesh. Like you have the Padmagandha cows, you have so many cows, all of them are dear to Krishna. But then you have special categories. Your category is in 100,000, and then you go down, come to 10. That milk is very Padmagandha. The 10 cows are very special. And that's the milk which Yashoda Mai, makes sweets from in Diwali for Krishna. So that's very special milk from those 10 special cows. So among so many devotees, the Pandavas are very special. And among the 5 special Pandavas who are very dear to Krishna, Arjuna is extra special. So that's how wonderful Krishna and Arjuna's relationship is. And you can appreciate this beautiful relationship as Krishna is tightly embracing his dear, dear devotee. And then he allows Nakula and Sahadeva to offer obeisances to him. And in this way it goes on. So Krishna is Acharya. So today also is the disappearance day of Jagannadas Babaji Maharaj, our Acharya. So it's worthy and appropriate we speak a few words about this great Mahatma, who's in our line, a very special Vaishnav, is a Siddha Purush, a Siddha Baba. So he was a complete mystic and a perfect devotee in one. And of course, there are various things we can speak, but one of the most important contributions we all know is embalmed in his Pranam Mantra. Gaura Avirbhav Bhumistvam. He is the one who revealed to the world the Gaur Avirbhava Bhumi, that special place in this planet, in this particular special universe, where Bhagavan would come once in a day of Brahma, which is a very, very long time of millions and billions of years, that very special event of cosmic significance. Which is the descent of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, is such a special thing for this universe. It happens only once. Krishna comes every yuga. But Mahaprabhu is extra special, is very rare. Anarpita charim chirat karuna utirna kalau. Anarpita charim chirat. Long, long time. How long is that time? It's a very long time. Millions of years. 4.32 billion years. It's a long time. 4.32 billion is not a small time. 4.3 billion years, one time, the Lord comes. And therefore, to understand the value of the place where He comes is so special. Where did He come? Okay, He came, as per scripture, but where did He come? Which part of the world did He descend? Where was the landing point of this great rare avatar of the Lord? Where? We don't know. Nobody knew. So after Mahaprabhu left this world, by the power of time, even God's birthplace can be covered over. What about our ancestral homes being in our, wherever we were born? You go there now, and then there's no building there, and then there's a building there when we were born, and that building has been gone into reconstruction or whatever, and the change place. That happened in our small generation of, 30, 40, 50 years. And, our jhopadi is no longer there, our kholi is not there, our building is gone, nothing is there. But even the Lord's place of descent can actually get completely covered over. That's the power of the covering energy of Maya. Anyway, this is wonderful because Krishna wanted this service to be given to the Vaishnavas, the Goswamis, to reveal again. Radha Krishna Nitya Leela Korilo Prakash. He wanted all these pastimes to be again excavated and revealed to the world for posterity. So also by the Lord's desire, the place of his birth was covered over. Mahaprabhu was born in, 15th century, late 15th century, and 1584. And then afterwards, for about 300 long years, nobody knew where the Yuga Avatar had appeared. Nobody knew. I mean, you don't know, you speculate. It's common, right? You don't know something, you speculate.
It may be. So then it came to be known that Navadvip, the place which is there, is the new place. So then we go through the historical Leela. Thakur Bhakti Vinod is so special to us in this regard also, because it is these two acharyas together, Janardhan Babaji Maharaj and Thakur Bhakti, these two acharyas came together for this special event to reveal to the world Gauravir Bhar Bhumi. Bhakti Thakur is very sick. He is very, very sick. He is with high grade fever. And now he is more than 49 years old. He wants to retire. He said, I will go to one of the kunjas of Vrindavan with my dear friend Bhakti Bringa. And I will sit there and perform Nirjan Bhajan. And I end my life there. Mahaprabhu comes in the night, in the same night, and says, you have some duties here to perform. In Navadvip, what will you do about that? He says, very happy to hear. He talks to his brother, like friend, Bhakti Bringa. And he wants to take a transfer now to Navadvip. But there's one person called Mr. Peacock, you know, who's supposed to sign his transfer. He said, no, you cannot get transferred there. And then at last he negotiates his transfer as a cross transfer. Okay, you come from there, here I go over there. So there's one person called Radha Madhav, who's the deputy magistrate of Krishnanagar. So then they exchange, as you come to Sri Rampur and I will go to Krishnanagar on your behalf. So there's a mutual transfer. And during the transfer, when his application was there, Peacock was on leave. So one Mr. Edgar sanctions that. So then he's here now. On the way, he's got high grade fever. But Thakur Bhakti explains that he's so happy to get a transfer to Krishnanagar, because now he'll be close to Navadvip and perform his life's mission. His life's mission to excavate the place of Mahaprabhu's birth. So with great difficulty, he reaches there and starts performing some duties. And then during Christmas time, this is 1888 right now. We are talking about 1888, a very historical year for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So he comes in the Christmas of 1988, because Christmas is a leave, it's British time, so it's a big leave, I'm sure, that time. He comes here to Navadvip. As soon as he comes to Navadvip, he feels a spurti. He feels elated, he feels jubilant. He feels a surcharge of devotional energy. And he's staying at Rani Sadan, a particular place, with his son, Kamal Prasad, and one clerk was there. And it was night, 10 o'clock, Saturday evening. And he's looking out at Navadvip. And lo and behold, he sees a huge mansion. He sees a huge mansion. He's flooded with lights, divine lights, all over the place. And he asked his son, do you see this? He said, yes, Papa, I see this. He asked the clerk, do you see this? He said, no, I don't see anything. It was not ordinary vision. It was a revelation. It was a vision of the city of God, which only pure devotees could see. So next day he goes there, and he finds a huge palm tree. And the place is called as Balal Digi. It's called Balal Digi. He starts trying to find out what is the origin of this place. He said, this place is called Balal Digi because there's a king called Balal Sen, and this huge pond which you are seeing over here is this pond which he used to use before it came known as Balal Digi, and beyond it there is nothing much of value here historically. But then he starts meeting people of the area. He says, where is Mahaprabhu's birthplace? He said, oh, that is transferred. That is, there were various theories prevalent at the time. One was that it is already sort of submerged under the Ganga, because Ganga, as we know, is not moving in a static flow in a particular route. She is very agile. So she keeps changing her course of current over the years. So they said, okay, now the original place is now submerged. It is no longer there. So, you cannot find it now. It's under the river bed. And some said it is this town which is Navadvip. That is the Lord's birthplace. Thakur Bhakti, we know, like a scientist. When you see this Leela, he behaved like a scientist. We have this magazine from Radhesham Prabhu's zone, Spiritual Scientist. So with the scientific accuracy, scientific precision, he wanted to come out with some data which is beyond doubt, something authentic, something genuine, something real, substantial. So he wanted to say, maybe thing doesn't work in ISKCON. Prabhupada was against. So the maybe means you don't know, you don't speak. Any professor said, maybe, you know, life came from chemicals. And if you don't say maybe, you don't know, you don't teach. So no, nothing. In our movement, we have this very strong precedent being said that you have to speak from the Shastra. It has to be Guru, Sadhu or Shastra. It cannot be what you think, because what you think has no value. Because one is a conditioned soul with four defects. What is the value of your saying? You can say something and I can say, and something else can something else. And then who going to really prevail in opinion? Nobody's opinion prevails, it just goes on. I feel, you feel, I feel, you feel. So he had a scientific precision. He went through all the different maps of the area. All the maps, all the ancient maps. Please remember, this is a time when there is no computer programs, no maps which are stored. It's just all paper. And the paper of 18th century, you can imagine, was like what type of paper, how much would it last. So you know, the paper was all shriveled. And it's very difficult for him. Along with the paperwork of finding out maps, other side he was doing Shastric study to find out where actually is the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. So he read the, of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was very rarely told. It was said it took 8 years for him at that time to find one copy of CC. Getting a CC itself was a struggle. Forget about Mahaprabhu's birthplace. Even his scripture, which describes his lila, was a struggle to get. Because, you know, there is no paper and there is no copies and no printing presses so much at that time. So everything was a struggle for him. Today, you know, we have a CC in our home. We barely read it. But anyway, he got that and he read that and he read Bhakti Ratnakar and read other books which would all talk about where is the place of Mahaprabhu's birth. So he was going to find circumstantial evidence. He was going to find Shastric evidence. And he was going to also find spiritual evidence. He was going to really do three things. And no one in the world can challenge that. So circumstantial evidence means from the folks there, from the locals, finding out. So some people who are really, really senior in that village, who are staying in Balal Digi, who are like really, you know, elderly people, said, yeah. In fact, they still call that place Mayapur. Some of the people are still calling the place Mayapur, even though the name had changed just recently. They still called it as Mayapur. So that was like, okay, there was something there. And then we read the scripture, it is very clearly mentioned. We can recite this verse together. It's a very special verse. We are talking. I speak on this verse with little detail because we are approaching the great event of Mahaprabhu's birth, which is on 5th of next month. So we need to get ourselves into the mood of Gaur Avirbhav. Therefore, this lila of how it was excavated is also equally important for us. So please recite with me. This is a very nice verse from Bhakti Ratnakar.
नवद्वीपे मध्ये मायापुर नामे स्थान नवद्वीपे मध्ये मायापुर नामे स्थान यथाय जन्मिले गौरचंद्र भगवान यथाय जन्मिले गौरचंद्र भगवान इन द सेंटर ऑफ नवद्वीप There is a place called Mayapur. At this place, the Supreme Lord, Gaurachandra, took his birth. So this was very clear. Shastra was there. Now there was evidence. And then he went to the maps. And he found in the maps that the place which they call Navadvip now is a modern town of only 100 years origin. So it couldn't be Mahaprabhu's birth because Mahaprabhu was born so many more 100 years ago. And this is 100 years ago, this place was called Navadvip. So that was ruled out. And some map, which he found from a local zamindar, that map said that there is a place marked in that map which was about 50, 60 years old. And that place was mentioned as, in the place of Balal Digi, what is called as Balal Digi now, in that same place, the previous map had said, this is Mayapur. So there's an old map, locals saying this, the scripture saying this, and then he kept on searching. Then the next Saturday he went again. Again he did a continued research. And there people told him, this is the place, this is the place. And the exact place, it is not just like this place, it's like not like a Chopati area. Where in Chopati? You know? So you cannot really say this Chopati area is the place where he was born. You have to know the exact place. You have to like pinpoint this place in Chopati. Right? Under this tree. So you wanted to be very specific. Where is the actual space?
And there, mystically, lot of tulsi was growing. Ah, beautiful. Lot of tulsi was growing. And people try to sometimes, you know, desanctify that area and do so many things. And, you know, there would be a lot of reaction there. The beards would get burned and all that. So there was something mystical happening there also. So there was, and in his heart he was feeling, this is the place. Everything is matching. The circumstances, evidence, the locals are saying, the maps are saying, this looks like the real place. But yet, a Vaishnav so much depends on senior Vaishnav's opinion, authority and blessings. He would not really tell this to the world till he was absolute confirmation. It is not at the same time this has happened. This has happened, I believe, a little later. I wonder what I read. It is a few years later, maybe in 1893, that Babaji Maharaj was also on a tour. He would spend half his year, towards the later part of his life. We know he lived for about 147 years. 147 years is, by any standards, a long, long time to live. And his Bihari Prabhu would carry him in his basket, shriveled small body. But Babaji Maharaj's body was special. Anyone who gets old will get shriveled, all the bones collapse and body collapse because the vertebrae starts collapsing and so your body size reduces. You shrink actually, as you grow old, our height reduces because the vertebra starts get worn out. So he was a small man in size in that sense. But during Kirtan, it would expand to a 6 feet body. Full-fledged six-wheel body, which they say was as effulgent as Gauranga Mahaprabhu's dance. He was fully absorbed in that Kirtan ras. He would become like that, full-sized. So he was half the month, half the year in Navadvip and half the year in Vrindavan. So when he happened to be here, let us appreciate that there is a very thick relationship between these two great acharyas. Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath, and Thakur Bhakti Vinod. In fact, Thakur Bhakti Vinod had two gurus. His Diksha Guru is Bipin Bihari Goswamiji, who was from Janava Devi's Sampradaya line. It's a very special relationship they had. Nonetheless, Saraswati Thakur, who's our leading acharya, he believed in his heart that the relation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was more thicker and more relevant and more substantial, not with his Diksha Guru, but with his Siksha Guru. So then the Siksha of Thakur Bhaktivinoda is dependent largely on his relationship with Jagannath Babaji Maharaj. In fact, he was like a student to him, and much of Thakur Bhaktivinoda's inspiration to do the thing which he did in this world came from the direct blessings and instructions and inspiration and encouragement of Babaji Maharaj. So we need to appreciate that there is a very thick relationship there between these two great acharyas of a Siksha disciple and a Siksha guru relationship. So he was very happy that Babaji Maharaj is here now in Navadvip, and therefore he asked him to come to that place. He requested that he come to that place which he had felt was the real place. And moment that basket was laid down in this place, it is explained historically, Babaji Maharaj was about 145 years old. He jumped high. Now I've heard that he jumped 15 feet high. I don't know where that came from, but people could see his sole of his feet. 15 feet is really high. Not even the people who jump the pole jump, even they need a pole to jump that much. They come running and then they have this pole and then they jump and then you can see they go over this rod. So not even a young man can jump 15 feet. However athletic his calf muscles are, he can't take that buoyancy from his calf muscles, from the floor. He cannot. Nobody human being can do that. Maybe a kangaroo can do that. But here is this elderly, very elderly, senile, apparently senile body, but divine body, obviously. It's a Siddha Purusha. He's not like us. He jumped 15 feet in the high, in the sky, and said, "Yahi to hai nimai janma bhumi. Yahi to hai nimai janma bhumi." In ecstasy, he cried out that this is the place of Nimai Janma Bhumi. And there it was confirmed for all times to come, for the rest of Kali Yuga. A founder of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and endorsed, sealed and sanctioned by Sarvabhauma, the commander-in-chief of the Vaishnavas. He was a very powerful personality.
Babaji Maharaj was a very powerful personality with great impact, influence and popularity at his time. He was not just a recluse sitting in a place and chanting Hare Krishna. He was really out there preaching. So he was very popular among the people around him who knew his great merit and his great divinity and his great mystic powers. It was endorsed that this is the place. So now we know. So we can all chant his Ram Mantra. Gauravirbhava bhumestvam nirdeshta sajana priyaha Vaishnava sarva bhoma shri jagannatha yate namaha. So we can offer our great gratitude. How much we really owe to this wonderful Vaishnava, Thakur Bhaktivinoda and Babaji Maharaj, for telling the world for all times to come. It is an important part of establishing the Yuga, the Sangeetan movement. All these things are important, part of the whole plan. Mahaprabhu's birthplace, Mahaprabhu's part of pastime, Leela pastimes, Krishna's pastimes, Vrindavan, all this is part of the actual process of making the movement actually grow. Because this is the places where some people are supposed to visit to get inspiration and devotion. They would otherwise go to, right? So it's part of a master plan, and therefore this is not a very old story. This is just, you know, late 18th century, 1888, 1893. So it's just only about 120 years that we know Mahaprabhu's actual birthplace. And of course, then temple was built by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, and then beyond that, Mayapur Chandradi Mandir. So we can see it's all exponential increase to make Mayapur more and more powerful in this world. People can all over the world can come and get inspired, get devotion, get bhakti of the Yuga Avatar. So, Babaji Maharaj had a very special, he was special in so many ways. But he asked, I was talking about contributions, so I must talk about this humble but very important contribution, that he asked Saraswati Thakur to make a panchika. A panchika containing all the appearances and disappearances of the Vaishnavas. Saraswati Thakur, being a very astute astrologer and knowing so much of Vedic sciences, he wrote the Surya Siddhanta at the age of 12 years. He knew so much astrology, right? In fact, they say that beyond, after that, all astrologers are what is called maaf. So, you don't really pay heed to that so much. He is like the real acharya of astrology, Vaishnava astrology. So he wrote this panchika. So when we do every Gaur Purnima, we have this new calendar coming. We would not know. How would we know? When we think about it, we think sometimes, just take things. Oh yeah, look at the panchika. Where was Rupa Goswami born? How would we know that? Wouldn't we want to know? We would like to know. Our founder Acharya of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, when was he born? It's important for us to know. So all these great dates of the appearance and disappearance of these great souls in our line, all this is a hard work of Saraswati Thakur on the behest of Jagannath Babaji Maharaj, who told him to do this. So this is important. So there are various things, talking about his mysticism. One day, people would come to him for, there's a Jamindar called Srinath. He came to him and said, Babaji Maharaj, please accept me as a disciple. When you have the Siddha Purush, people can go to become disciples. So then, they get so benefit out of that. So people come to him and said, please, initiate me. And he would never give it anybody initiation. He said, you do this service. Do all some different type of service he would engage them into. And somebody was really insistent, and he just took his cane, and he banged it on the floor several times. So he looked very angry. So the Zabinar got scared that maybe he's very angry that I asked for the initiation. So he went away. So then he explained that, no, I'm not angry with you. I'm angry. I'm upset because there are goats who are eating tulsi leaves at the Samadhi Mandir of Loknath Goswami at Vrindavan. So now he's sitting here in Navadvip. And now he was really, he was not a scientist, but he wanted to cross-check. Is this really, is he hallucinating or what? So he sent immediately a letter, fast letter, to Vrindavan to cross-check. And the pujaris confirmed, yes, a few days back, a goat came to Loknath Goswami's Samadhi Mandir, and a lot of tulsi in a place, and they are all eaten away by the goat. And Babaji Maharaj was hucklaming them out, so why they are destroying this sacred place. Yeah. So he was a very mystical person, very special person. One of the, I had the chance when we went to his Samadhi Mandir, some of us went there in the last parikrama. We went to Navadvip, which is at Kulia, next to the flowing Ganga. Very nice, simple, nice Samadhi Mandir, very clean, very quiet place. But his absorption in two things, his absorption in the holy name. On the side, if you go there, there's a plaque of white marble where there are inscription of what he spoke about, the glory of the holy name. So I don't remember that, but when I read it, I remember that it was very deep. His very deep appreciation for the holy name. How it is the only savior, the only shelter, the greatest mercy of Krishna, the Lord himself coming in the form of his holy name. Very deeply absorbed. He went to Rishikesh. Purusas Charan is the prototype of vow he took there. Just to be absorbed in the holy name. So he would get up in the morning, early morning, he has a very special vow, sitting on the bank of the Ganga and chanting. He went to Bipin Bihari, his personal servant. And you're not supposed to speak anything. And you're supposed to take bath in the Ganga, I think about three times in a day. So you know the Ganga there at Rishikesh, at Haridwar, how it is. Chilly cold. So if you go in once inside, so you like that. So this old man is bathing in the Ganga three times in a day for several weeks. Very austere. And you, even if you pass air, you pass air from your body, you're supposed to go and again take bath. You don't speak to anybody in the whole day. Just absorb 16 hours in chanting. So one day he just by mistake, he addressed Bipin Bihari. He says something to him. And the whole vrata was apparently, sort of spoiled. So he went through the entire procedure of doing that same thing which he did again. It took him three full months to do this. And he said, actually, that anyone wants to have the divine darshan of Gaurang Mahaprabhu in this body, you have to do this Purushas Charan vrata, which is described by him, by what he did. So we can see his absorption was so thick, so deep. He was tasting the glory, he was tasting Naam. Naam Ruchi was definitely there to the fullest. Krishna was manifesting fully out of his love in the holy name of in his holy names. And when you absorb, when you experience Krishna in the holy name, then you experience Krishna everywhere. Because you are God realized. For one who has seen the truth, Krishna reveals himself in everything, because Krishna is the source of everything. So you would see divinity even in the dogs. Right? We know the story, right? That he's sitting there, this Samadhi Mandir and the veranda was made by Bhaktivinoda Thakur for him. Sitting there and he's honoring prasad, and the dogs come there, the puppies come there, not dogs, puppies come there. And, Vaishnavas, dog, Vaishnavas, they have a, they little look down because it's a species, dog species, sopacha, dog eaters. So, and they were eat. They also came in to take food. And and his personal servant just said, remove the puppies away. He got very upset. These are the dog of the dham. I will not honor prasad today again unless they come. So then he allowed them to come and then they honored prasad. So we cannot imitate that. Because he was seeing Krishna in the heart of the puppy also. And he was seeing Krishna fully manifest in the dham. When you have such a realization, you can eat from the same plate as a dog. Otherwise you don't do that. But he was so absorbed. Even in fact, dhamer bhaji. See, dham, the gaurav, the glory, the reverence for the dham was so deep. Even the vegetables growing in the dham were like so special for him. Dhamer bhaji. Oh, this is bhaji. There's a muli or palak, whatever it is. But it's growing in the dham. The sacred soil of the dham is Chintamani dham. Navadip dham and all these are Chintamani dhams. Right? So something growing out of that is so special. Whether the dog of the dham or the bhaji of the dham, everything in the dham is very special. So in this way, he gave us a deeper understanding to appreciate the true glory of the dham, not just in a superficial manner, but in a deep manner, and meditate on the real essence of what actually dham is. So there are many wonderful things, such things are there about Babaji Maharaj. Of course, we don't have time to talk about Ashikananda Prabhu. He is another great Acharya in our line, the disciple of Shamananda Pandit. There's one story Maharaj has said many years ago, which has imprinted in our minds. Many years ago, we were at Rasikananda Prabhu's Samadhi Mandir, and Maharaj explained that he was given the order by, just like Mahaprabhu, the order to Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, go and preach the holy name of the Lord everywhere. So he was a son of Utkal. Utkal is now modern day Odisha, son of a king. His name was King Achyuta. So he was given the order by Shamananda, his Prabhu, his guru. He said, go and preach and make the whole land give them Krishna Bhakti. Very sinful place. Utkal was a very sinful place. So he would go there, and he did many things. He made, they say in the book, countless disciples. But he had a very special disciple. As he was growing in popularity, the local Mohammedan who was staying there, his name was Ahmed Beg. He was a tyrannical person. He's a tyrant. A tyrant of a worst nature. And, you know, he would be killing so many people, so many Hindus. And preachers and sadhus were like the object of his hate to the maximum. Right? So he was learning, this man has become very popular. Okay, he's become very popular. Let's test him out. People say, you know, all glorified him so much. He's doing so many things. And so let me see what this guy is all about. So there was a mad elephant in that area who was destroying people's houses and lives. He was mad. And elephant itself is very powerful. I mean, you have a mad elephant, he can do so much destruction. There are some stories of that, you know, of how mad elephants can do so much damage. So this mad elephant, he would see a human being, and the blood of the human being would make him feel around to crush them under his feet. So they said, let us put this whatever the saint or whoever is in front of this, you know, elephant, and see how he behaves with the, whether he's able to really do something there or become an object of his, you know, being crushed. So some disciples are staying along with him also. Rasikananda had many disciples, and it's a huge mammoth just charging madly at Rasikananda. He's just coming with great force, and everyone obviously ran away. who can face a mad elephant, you know? Nobody ordinary can face a mad elephant. And then as soon as he came to Rasikananda, he just immediately got subdued. He just got subdued by some unseen force. And he offered obeisances to Rasikananda. Pranam. Vanchakavdurbhasakripasindubhayavacha. Like that. And Rasikananda went up to him, opened his right ear, and chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He initiated this mad elephant, who was uncontrollable and a murderer, a killer, into a great Vaishnava. His name was Gopal Das. And he said he made his own preaching troupe of various elephants also. Such is the great story of our Acharyas, how wonderful they are. The mysticism, their devotion, their glory is all there in the books for us to read and appreciate. And fill our hearts with pride. Pride for the Sampradaya, pride for Srila Prabhupada, for having been exposed to this great wealth of knowledge and information, which should make us feel so happy that we are in this wonderful, wonderful movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And even more so as we come closer to Gaur Purnima, let our hearts swell with more pride and joy to welcome the Lord in our hearts. Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai. Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.